I'm sure many of us have set in our hearts that we want to do something great for God, and we want to be a part of His kingdom and contribute something. Well, have you ever felt that you wanted to do more for God, or maybe guilty that you just weren't doing enough? David did. Did you ever have a desire in your heart that you were driven and set to do more for God? David was. As we look at God's word to David, we see just what our role is in the building of God's kingdom.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with rock solid hope in Rim Country. 9 a.m., December 24th, 2017. This message is based on 2 Samuel chapter 7.
Can I help? You hear a small little voice say as they run up next to you. Can I do that too? You see a 3-foot tall person come alongside of you and want to join you. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you've probably experienced that. You're working on a project in the kitchen, maybe the workshop or whatever it might be, and a little person wants to help you. So you're, of course, letting out that sigh of both maybe frustration, but also affection. How could you not let them join? Don't touch that, you say. That's dangerous, as you take away a hot pot or a power drill. No, you go work on that right there. But you don't seem to mind as they're stirring the mixing bowl and stuff is just flying all over the kitchen. They're helping, right? And soon a 20-minute project becomes a 60-minute project, but they're helping, right? I kind of think my dad might have felt this way for the last few years as his sons and in-laws were helping him with his house. We, you know, chipped in and did some projects as he was building his house, and yes, maybe on occasion we were 1/32nd of an inch off on some of the projects, or more. He is a very careful builder, but what can you do? We're free labor, right? And he was probably glad we were helping, despite some of the mistakes we might have made. What about when it comes to us serving our God? I'm sure many of us have set in our hearts that we want to do something great for God, and we want to be a part of His kingdom and contribute something. Well, have you ever felt that you wanted to do more for God, or maybe guilty that you just weren't doing enough? David did. Did you ever have a desire in your heart that you were driven and set to do more for God? David was. As we look at God's word to David, we see just what our role is in the building of God's kingdom. See, David was someone who was very much blessed by God. God had taken David from being the smallest and most insignificant in his family to being the leader of the nation of Israel, from shepherding the flocks to shepherding a nation. And God had defeated all of David's enemies and given David this rest and peace. And even on top of that, God had worked through Hiram, the king of Tyre, and built for David, from a gift from Hiram, this cedar palace. And so there's David, this king over this land, and there's peace, and he's walking around in his new, fresh cedar palace. But then it dawned on David, I should be doing something more, something for my God. So David set in his heart to do something to serve his Lord, his helper. And sure enough, as David had to reflect on the past many years, there was good cause for him to sit and contemplate what he could be doing more for his God. Because for the past 80 years, the Ark of the Covenant, that is God's emblem of his presence with his people, had been sitting in the house of Abinadab. And it was only after 25 years of David's reign that he finally took the ark and brought it to his capital city, Jerusalem. But there's David sitting in his cedar palace, and the ark of God is in some sort of a tent. So David set it on his heart that he said, I'm going to build a temple, a house. The words are actually the same in the Hebrew. I'm going to build a house for the Lord. David shared this with Nathan the prophet, who was essentially his pastor. And Nathan said, go ahead, that's a good plan. Build something for the Lord. You know, you and I, certainly I think we have reason to give pause and contemplate our situation and how we can serve our God, right? No, we're probably not walking around in a palace of cedar, exactly. But God has blessed us in many ways. And no, God's house is not really some tent off in some corner of somebody's house. Not exactly. But might we have reason to consider how much are we investing in our time for our comforts and our life, and how much are we investing for the honor of our God and His glory? For David, it had taken 25 years for him to come to the conclusion, I should be doing more for my God than I have been. How about you and I? Is there more that we could be doing to honor our God as we serve Him? Well, as David brought this message to the Lord, God had to remind David of something. You want to build a house for me, David? You want to serve me, your God? I'll tell you, David, I will tell you what I have done and I will do for you. And so God speaks as He says, through the prophet Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built a house for me out of cedar? Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. See, David wanted to help God. But first, he needed to reflect on how God had done everything for him. David, I've done this for you. I've taken you from being shepherd to king. In other words, David, as he continues, I have cut off all your enemies from before you. David, I've done everything for you. I've done it all alone, not you. In other words, God was saying to David, David, when you were that young man, I'm the one who anointed you to be king. David, when you were fighting off the bears and the wolves as a shepherd, I was with you. David, when you faced that giant who was poised to make sport of you, I was with you. And David, when Saul was trying to take your life, I was with you. And when you fought off your enemies and secured peace, I was with you. And when you took your throne, I was with you. David, you see, did not need to serve God. David could not serve God. Quite the contrary. You and I need to realize it's not us serving God, but rather quite the contrary. And David could reflect back. God had used him. You see, David said, I need to do something great. I need to build a temple for God. God says, you've already served me. I've made you shepherd over my people, a leader, a governor, a king. You and I as well. Rather than thinking we need to build some church or make some grand scheme to help God's kingdom, we need to recognize God already has used us in His kingdom. And by His grace has caused us to be those who are part of His service. Maybe you're not a king of a nation or a ruler, but think of the position God's put you in. You don't have to become a world missionary to be someone who's serving in God's kingdom. You don't have to be the builder of a church to be the one who's serving in God's kingdom. You have a mother, a father, a grandparent, a spouse. Whatever your position in life, your vocation, consider how God has brought you into that position to serve Him, just as He brought David into his position. And God uses you as you encourage others and lead them with your encouragement from God's word, whether it's a Christian friend, or maybe a coworker, whatever position you have in this life, first reflect on God is and has been using you to serve Him in His kingdom. Only problem is, like David, you and I cannot serve God. God says to David, I've done everything for you, and now He says, I will do everything for you. See, the problem for David was he could not build a temple for God. He was guilty. And when you and I consider that we would be the ones that would step up and serve our God and build a temple or a house for him, we need to recognize we too are guilty. Not only for the times we neglected to build his temple, but for the times our hands have messed things up. You know, when my kids help in the kitchen, they're helping, they're stirring, they're mixing, and they're making a mess. But as a parent, I don't care. I want to involve them in service. I want them to see that they can help me and learn these things and do these things. How much more our God, our Father in heaven, includes us in grace, not because we're useful necessarily, but because he's going to use us in love. And how much more God takes not just those who are messing up the kitchen, but those who have messed up our lives and who would mess up his house because of our sin. You see, we cannot build. God, in turn, decided he would do everything for us. Look what he says to David. He says, he will provide a place for Israel. He will protect them. He will give them rest. God's going to do it all. And now as we read in 2 Samuel 7, in the middle of verse 11, he says, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. David, you're not going to build it. I'm going to build it. The Lord himself will be the builder of that house. He says, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, in other words, David, you're going to be dead. You're not going to be involved in this major building project. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body. I will establish his kingdom. That is, someone after you, David, will build my house. He is the one, verse 13, who will build a house for my name. David, before you can be a builder in my kingdom, you need to recognize I'm building a kingdom for you. And you and I, for all the times we feel guilty, for the times we failed to be involved in service in God's kingdom, or when we've had our hearts set on doing more, we need to reflect on how God has done so much for us and how he is the builder. Who is this builder that he's speaking of? This son of David. Certainly Solomon, David's son, would build a temple. But Solomon is not the complete fulfillment. He says here, I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Solomon did build a temple, yes. But Solomon didn't live forever. Solomon's throne did not go forever. And Solomon's temple did not even last forever. No, God's picture is far beyond our imagination, what he is going to build for us. He goes on to describe the builder. I will be his father, and he will be my son. There'll be a special relationship of this son of David with the Lord, father and son. And he says, when he does wrong, I will punish him with the rods of men, with floggings inflicted by men. So we see this builder is going to be one who have an eternal throne. This is a builder who will be the son of the father. This is a builder who will be inflicted by sufferings of men. Solomon, yes, built a temple, but as far as we know, was never beaten by men. No, this builder would be. He goes on to describe the builder, but my love will never be taken away from him. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Who is this builder? I'm sure you've guessed it. It's one that we read of earlier, who is that son of David, the one spoken of to Mary. As the angel said, and we read earlier regarding this one who would be the son of the Father, the angel spoke of that builder, saying, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be my son. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You will take on your throne, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. I will establish his throne forever, David. The builder is Jesus, the son of Mary, the son of David, and the son of God. When Jesus walked this earth, he said, one greater than Solomon is here. And as the people saw him, they challenged him as one who could build God's house. And he said, tear down this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And with such love for his people, Our builder came, and though he was rejected by his people, who made a total mess of God's house, our builder came to build God's house for us. And yes, they did do what he said. They tore down that temple. They killed his body. But Jesus, the builder of God's church, was inflicted with sufferings by men, just as that prophecy said. But it wasn't for his wrongdoing, not his own. It was because he bore the wrongdoing of all of God's house. Isaiah reveals for us that it was for us, our iniquities, that he was pierced by men. And we considered him stricken by God, but God had prophesied this is what the builder would do. And by his death, that builder has made you and I pieces for God's house. And Jesus, the builder who was crucified, did just as he had said, was raised back to life, showing us that he is the one to build God's house. He is the one who has brought us into God's kingdom. We are now called living stones and members of God's household. You and I, who are not even worthy to enter God's house, nonetheless build it, have been made into God's house, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And God has built his kingdom, which will last forever. You want to serve God? He has made you to be an eternal part of his kingdom and his building. You want to do something great for God? He's using you right now in his kingdom by grace as one who is washed clean of sin and built into his temple. When you look at what God has done, it is beyond our imagination for any building we could ever do, anything we could ever do to serve him. And he's done it all without our help, beyond our imagination. And now we just simply have a building ready to receive our King. It's a building plan beyond our dreams. God has made you a part of it. Amen.